Amy Goodman, as we turn now to an important victory in the battle for free speech here in the United States. Last week, the University of Michigan Press voted unanimously to continue distributing books from the London-based independent publishing house Pluto Press. The controversy began earlier this summer when the University Press decided to stop distributing a new book by author Joel Cavell. It was published by Pluto Press. It's called Overcoming Zionism, Creating a Single Democratic State in Israel-Palestine. The press dropped Cavell's book in August after getting a series of threatening emails from a right-wing group called Stand With Us. But faced with a growing campaign led by fellow academics and civil libertarians, the board overturned its earlier decision. Last week's key decision to continue ties with Pluto Press came in the midst of a series of events organized around what right-wing groups called, quote, Islamofascism Awareness Week. Joel Cavell is an anti-war activist. He was a Green Party candidate for Senate here in New York. He's the author of over 10 books. This latest, Overcoming Zionism, is his most recent. Joining us in the Firehouse Studio in New York. Welcome to Democracy Hi. Now. So your book will continue to be published.
Yeah, more to the point, Pluto will continue to be published because that was a huge threat. It's a marginal firm that nonetheless publishes a tremendous amount of alternative works and it would have been devastating had that contract been violated.
And it's the University of Michigan Ann Arbor Press that distributes the British Pluto Press.
Yes, with contract. And they panicked this summer when they dropped my book. I mean, they were pressured by this Zionist watchdog team, which is really part of the same apparatus that's putting out Islamofascism Awareness Week and many other things. And the director just wrote me this absurd letter saying that my book was not worthy of free speech because it was hate speech. My book was so full of hate to the state of Israel. My book was really written to open the dialogue, which is so wretched in this country on this subject.
I thought it was interesting that one of the people who, well, what is called blurbing the book, who recommends the book is Michelle Warshavsky.
Yes.
I remember him many years ago visiting him in Israel, who is a leading Israeli peace activist.
Yeah, wonderful man. He doesn't even necessarily agree with the conclusion, which is to have a single democratic state, but he recognizes the necessity of opening this discourse, and that's why I wrote the book. I mean, I disregarded all the taboos that you're not supposed to talk about Israel in any depth in this country.
He says Cavell is suggesting a binational Israeli-Palestinian state. It may be challenged, but definitely should not be ignored.
It should be challenged. What we don't have is any kind of real debate on this subject in our country at this time. And I guess my book went too far for the watchdogs, so they started barking and howling at the University of Michigan Press, which folded. And then that provoked a big reaction. And where we are now is that we've actually won quite a considerable victory in this, because as this story developed, we found that people all over the country and indeed many other parts of the world, particularly the United Kingdom, were backing us. And there were hundreds of letters sent to the University of Michigan Press, and I think it had a decisive effect. So it's really historic because basically these Zionist repression groups have had pretty much a free hand.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, this Stand With Us Michigan.
I mean, there are many people who consider themselves Zionists that would not advocate the banning of your book.
Oh, that's right.
It essentially comes down to.
Exactly. But the ones who do advocate the banning, you know, had a big effect.
Talk
they got
about
the University
how,
of Michigan Press to roll over. For
how
them.
Did people organize to push back? Who were the leaders? Among them, Howard Zinn?
Well, we contacted Zinn, and he was most gracious and generous in letting his celebrated, illustrious name be used to bring in people to write letters on behalf of Pluto. My book was restored, but the threat to Pluto continued, and so the organization emphasized, we do need an alternative press in this country. Pluto does have perhaps the largest pro-Palestinian and anti-Zionist, collection of books. And it's essential that people be given access to these books. So Zinn and other well-known people like Richard Falk, you know, said, yes, we're on board with this. And we have a committee forming, Committee for Open Discussion of Zionism, CODZ.org, okay? And we're planning a conference and all, but the committee leapt into action, and we were amazed at just how eloquent and, you know, basically fed up a lot of people were with being intimidated by these kinds of tactics that just want to suppress an open discussion of this subject.
Joel Covell, yeah. As a Jewish activist,
right.
And scholar,
yeah.
Talk about this issue, this idea that you are proposing, creating a single democratic state in, yeah. Israel-Palestine. Of course, it's not only you. Among others, it's Ali Abu Nima of, yes. Electronic Intifada,
right.
And others. But explain what it is. And also, how, yeah. Does it relate to your own religion, to Judaism?
Well, to take the second part first, I grew up in a very conventional Jewish home, except for the fact that there was a lot of division on this subject. So I think from an early age, I learned to take a certain distance from it and to think critically about it. And I detail in the book certain incidents of my childhood, which sort of made me somewhat estranged from what was going on. But in any event, as I grew up, I felt that the Jewish people have been, you know, very largely deprived of a real opportunity to look at what's going on in the state of Israel, you know, because there is such a frantic effort to establish Israel as a Jewish state, as somehow the destiny of the Jewish people, using all of the history of the oppression and persecution that Jews have suffered over the centuries. And I feel that the notion of Zionism as that there is this kind of destiny of Jewish people to have their own state is just a wrong idea. And it's an idea that requires signing on to imperialism. It means signing on to ethnic cleansing. It means, despite everything that has been said about it, it means basically becoming a racist situation where you're oppressing an indigenous population and depriving them of their right to existence, and then thinking that somehow you can go ahead and have a decent life on that basis. Now, you can't, in my view. And I joined hands with those people who feel that the time has come to basically think of Israel in the same category as South Africa, as a state that just has gone wrong and needs replacement, okay? Now, that's a way-out idea. On the other hand, a lot of people around the world think about it, and it should be openly discussed.
It's interesting, Bishop Tutu,
yes.
Who right. Was disinvited
right.
And then invited
right.
By the St. Thomas University,
yes,
in Minneapolis
yeah.
For making comparisons
right.
Of Israel to apartheid South
yes.
Africa.
Well, the comparison was interesting because Tutu and other leaders of the freedom struggle in South Africa who visited Palestine have always been asked, well, how does it compare? And he says, well, it's not the same thing. Israel is actually worse. He actually said Israel is a worse place than apartheid South Africa was, because apartheid South Africa attempted to retain the integrity of the blacks so they could work in the mines and the mills of the South African, you know, industrial system. Whereas the key point about Israel is that it wants to get rid of them, transfer. It wants to get them out of there. And it wants this area to be for Jews only.
Why
know?
Not two states?
Well, first of all, it's been destroyed as a practical alternative because the nature of the occupation has completely eaten out from under any possibility of having a real Palestinian state. But more fundamentally, it perpetuates the logic of the same kind of thinking that has gone on all along. I mean, I think a two-state solution in any practical sense, that is to say, the Palestinians would have a little statelet, would be basically rising Israel to the level of South Africa. South Africa had a two-state solution. There was the South African state and there were the Bantustans. The kind of two-state solution that they're talking about is that the state of Israel and then the Bantustans, sometimes even dividing Gaza from the occupied territories.
What kind of support does a one-state solution have either in the occupied territories or in Israel?
It has very small support, and I call it a strategic goal. This is to say, it's not something that is on the horizon, but if you think in these terms, you are led to take a really constructive view towards this situation, because now you're grounding your politics in universal human rights. You're not grounding your politics in the aberration and the very wrong idea of a national, you know, ethnic state, which is a big mistake. And I think that orients you in a good direction, and the overall outcome cannot help but be better, even if the result is another state for Palestinians. But you want to weaken this notion that there should be a Jewish state and that somehow can be democratic. It can't be.
We're going to leave it there. When is the conference and where?
Well, the conference is being planned for early next year. We're doing it in New York. We want a very high-profile conference.
We're going to have to leave it there. Okay. Joel Cavell, author of Overcoming Zionism, Creating a Single Democratic State in Israel-Palestine. The book will continue to be distributed by the University of Michigan Press at Ann Arbor. That does it for our broadcast. Mark Snow, produced by Mike Berkshire, with the producer, Amate Angeli Kamen, Jeffrey.